And from the very beginning, this sermon series has been centered around a passage from Isaiah chapter 6. And that is why you have heard it several times. In the passage, Isaiah has a vision where he is standing in the glorious presence of the Lord. There are heavenly beings called seraphim flying around and singing praises to God himself. And when Isaiah realizes that he is in the presence of the holy Creator, he cries out, "Woe is me! Woe is me!" Isaiah knows that he is a sinner and unworthy of being in the presence of God. Woe is me. And after he makes this profession that he is a sinner, he writes Isaiah 6, verse 6. "Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, your sin atoned for.'" I mean, wow, what a story. Isaiah stands in the presence of God. Isaiah repents of his sin. Isaiah's sin is removed. He is forgiven. He is redeemed. He is restored. And that is an amazing story. A loving God who spares the life of an undeserving person. A loving God who heard the cry of repentance and through a divine act provided salvation. What a merciful gift. I mean, just how incredible is our God? And what a happy ending to the story, right? I mean, that was the end, right? Wasn't it? Isaiah got saved. All's good. Isaiah went home, went back to his ordinary life, worshiped at most of the major holidays, gave some money to the temple, and just lived his days out and humbly raised a family, gracefully got old, passed away, and went to heaven. Right? Is that the story? But isn't that the way faith works? That somehow we find out we're sinners, we ask for forgiveness, God's forgiveness, we get forgiveness, and we go on, right? That's the way it works, right? That's the way it worked for the disciples, right? They met Jesus, they learned about Jesus, Jesus died for our sins, Jesus gave them more wisdom after resurrection, Jesus went off to heaven, and the disciples went happy home, they knew Jesus, right? I mean, obviously, that all sounds absurd. It wasn't the end for Isaiah, and it wasn't the end for the disciples. Isaiah writes in verse 8, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?'" Now, I know this is in the form of a question, but let's be honest. Was this really a question? I mean, if you were in need and had no money and no car, and I showed up to give you a brand new car, and I said, "Now, who is going to give me a ride home?" Is that really a question? If I showed up and gave you $1,000 in cash, and then ask, "Now, who is going to pay for lunch?" Was that really a question? When my wife asked me, "Do you want to go to the store with me?" Is that really a question? God said, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? God knew Isaiah's heart. God knew that Isaiah was overwhelmed by God's love, overwhelmed by his mercy, overwhelmed by his forgiveness. And Isaiah, full of joy, full of gratitude, says, "Here I am. Send me." I mean, in my head, I hear a person so excited that God would even choose him. I hear a person that feels he owes his very life to God, that God is his hero, God is his savior. And he cries out, "Here I am, send me, please, please pick me, send me." And God commands him. He said, "Go and tell this people." God said, "Go. Go." You see, we are a people that are commanded to go. We were created to serve God, and we were created to go. All the way back to the creation story in Genesis 1. It said, God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." See, we were never created to be idle. The world that was created for us is now the fallen world. And Jesus came to establish a new kingdom, a new life, by making us a new creation. And as that new creation in God, we are still called to be fruitful and multiply in a new way. From Jesus himself in Matthew 28, we've all heard this one many times. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." We as Christians have a mission to go, make, baptize, and teach. Not just pastors, not just missionaries, not just theologians. Time and time again throughout the New Testament, we are called to be witnesses of our faith. We are to go, make, baptize, teach. We heard earlier from Acts 1 how Luke records the ascension to heaven. Starting in verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." He said, we are commanded to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. We are commanded to be witnesses to the world. And just as we saw in Isaiah's story, the story wasn't over when he received redemption. And whenever it is in your life that you received your redemption, when you received your gift of salvation, your story wasn't over either. You see, you are called. You are called to go, make, baptize, and teach. You are called to receive power and be witnesses. And unfortunately, so many of us are not going. We are not doing. We continue in Acts 1, verse 9. said after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes and a cloud hid them from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." I mean, Jesus had just left. They said, "Why are you wasting time? Why do you just stand here looking into the sky? Why? Why are you just standing here? You're supposed to go. You're supposed to make. You're supposed to baptize. You're supposed to teach. You're supposed to receive power. You're supposed to be witnesses. You just saw God ascend into heaven, and here you stand doing nothing." The angels knew these people had been with Jesus. They had seen his miracles. They had heard Jesus teach. They saw him love the unloved. They saw him stand up to corruption. They saw Jesus surrender only to be arrested and beaten and put on a cross. They saw Jesus die. They saw him rise and conquer death. They heard his commands following him after the resurrection, and after they saw him rise into the heavens. And the angels say, "What more do you need? Why are you standing here? You just heard Jesus say, 'Go.'" Well, guess what? You have the Bible. You've read about his miracles and his teachings. You've heard the stories of his love, the story of the cross and the resurrection. And not only do you have all the same information the disciples have, you have the epilogue. You have what was written by his disciples after that. We are witnesses to the power of the Holy Spirit given to his followers. We are witnesses to how that early church spread from Jerusalem and went all the way through the Roman Empire. And not only do we have the New Testament, we have nearly 2,000 years of church history. We have history of miracles, histories of saints, of early church fathers and mothers, stories of people who died spreading the gospel around the world. We have the records of the mistakes and the failures and the problems when the church got it wrong. But we also have the writings of the Reformation and those who followed, like John Wesley, who helped spark revivals and Holy Spirit movements in Europe and the Americas. And we as individuals have our own God experiences. We have our baptisms, our confirmations. We have our salvation moments. We have seen God work. We have seen God heal. We have seen God do many great things. And we are supposed to go, make, baptize, and teach. We are supposed to receive that same power of the Holy Spirit. And we are supposed to be witnesses. And yet, here some of you stand. And just like Isaiah, you have God's love. You have God's forgiveness. And just like the disciples, you have been promised the Holy Spirit. Shouldn't you be excited? Shouldn't you want to just say yes to God? Shouldn't you proclaim just as Isaiah did, "Here I am, send me. Send me." But we like to say, send that one. Well, I've got a few dollars for that mission. It's a pastor's job, right? I think the problem with modern Christianity is that we have not fully completed our salvation. Yes, we ask God to forgive us. But all too often, we stop there. God, forgive us. Can I go to heaven, please? Thanks. See you later. I'll be back when I got a problem. We don't surrender to God. We don't surrender to the mission. We often stop short because we don't receive the power. If you read the book of Acts, you'll see how the disciples were made that even the Gentiles were receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. Even the Gentiles were going around and laying hands and healing people and performing miracles. We hear about the believers receiving the Holy Spirit. Yet we don't open ourselves up to receive the same Holy Spirit. See, Jesus said, you're not going alone. He says, I'm going to put you guys together in this wonderful thing called church as believers. And I'm going to distribute gifts. I am going to give you the Holy Spirit. Each of you are going to contribute differently, but together you're going to be complete. And we are called to go with power. We are called to receive the Holy Spirit. And it all starts with this phrase. Here I am. Send me. Here I am. Send me. Lord, please. Here I am. Send me. It's a statement of surrender. It's a statement of whatever your will, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do. Because I don't know about you, but I'm tired of mediocre Christianity. I'm tired of being an okay church. I want to see God work in big ways. I want to see this church grow. I want to see baptisms. I want to see revivals. I want to see miracles. And I think God is saying to us today, why do you stand there? Whom shall I send? And the question is, what will be your response today? Will you go home, pick up the routine that you have every Sunday, and tomorrow will be another Monday, and a few days later you'll be going, oh, I guess we got church again on Sunday. What will your response be? I can tell you mine. Here I am. Send me. Let us pray together. Lord, each person here has a different story. Each person is in a different place in their walk with you. But Lord, whether they're struggling and in search of forgiveness and redemption, or whether it's something they've had and have just sat by and idly watched others work, all of us today can come to you in full surrender. Lord, I pray that at this very moment, the Holy Spirit is working and speaking in the hearts of the people here today. Lord, your Spirit is powerful to those who will open up and say, "Here am I." Lord, you will gift us, you will equip us, you will train us. You will make us worthy of service for you. And Lord, if nothing else, that is our greatest testimony. That you, a loving God, would use a sinful man like me. That you, a loving God, would take someone who was living in a dark, sinful life. Someone who had walked away from their faith, someone who had turned their back on God and say, "No, I have a plan for you." Lord, your grace can redeem any and all. Lord, may the people feel the power of that redemptive spirit to know that if they cry out to you in this moment, that you are forgiving and loving. And that if we give full surrender, your Holy Spirit will fill us, change us, and transform us. Lord, we know the journey is not easy. Lord, we know the journey to the cross was very painful for your Son, Jesus Christ. But just as he was willing to pray in the garden, to go and be that sacrifice, today, Lord, my prayer is that the people here today say, "I'm willing to take that next step. Illuminate me, lead me, guide me to go and use the gifts that you have given me." Lord, let this church never be the same. Let us always flourish through the power of your Holy Spirit. Allow us to go and be your people. Let us go and make disciples. Let us go and be your witnesses. Let us receive your Holy Spirit. And let us leave here differently than when we came. This we ask and pray through the power of the Holy Spirit and your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I don't know what your cry was today, but if your cry was, "Woe is me," when you said, "Lord, forgive me," I'm here to tell you the Lord has forgiven you. And if your cry was, "Here I am, send me," then I promise you that if you mean that in full surrender, you will begin to experience the Holy Spirit. God will begin talking to you in ways you've never understood before. It may not be an audible voice. It may be through the voice of a friend. It may be through the words on a page in a scripture. It may be through a song on the radio. But God will begin to speak with you. And wherever you are at in this journey of finding God and finding your way, I, as your pastor, am here for you. I am and always have been available 24/7. If you have a problem, you call me. I am here for you. That is my calling. That was God calling me to this ministry to be here for you, to help you find your calling and your place in God's kingdom. We all have a gift from God. And it's time we said, here am I. Send me. May you leave here know that you have been loved. You have been forgiven. And you are children of God. Now let us go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of His precious Holy Spirit. Amen.